Well, welcome everybody to another edition of Last Christian. My name is J.D. Williams here in beautiful East Texas, and joining me from New York City is my brother in Christ, Mr. David Paxton.
And, hey, guys.
Hey, David, we're going to really blow people's mind today because we're going to talk to them about the rapture of the church, and we're going to take it. You know, people always like to say, well, the rapture's not in the Bible. Rapture's not in the Bible. Well, today we're going to prove the rapture's not only in the Bible, but it's in the Bible, numerous times, correct?
Yeah. All the way dating back to before the flood.
Wow. Okay. So we're going to give you guys some insight into the Bible that you may have never heard before, but it's all in the text. So what we would suggest you do, if you have one, grab your Bible. Because we're going to give you what book, chapter, verse, if we need to. I don't know. I mean, David's going to be the one that's going to be guiding. And you know, we have this midweek show every week, verse by verse teaching. That is our midweek show, and David takes care of that. And what I do is I ask questions that I feel like people would ask. And that's kind of what we're going to do today. So what we're going to do first is get the news out of the way, and then I'm going to turn David loose. And I think that this is going to be just incredible. But this is a news show. The first show of the week is supposed to be a news show, so we're going to give it some news because we're members of the U.S. Press Association. So anyway, let's begin over close to Israel, and something the United States does not want to tell you about. We're already at war, and that is we are already at war with the Houthis out of Yemen. Let's listen to this.
The crew of a British-registered cargo vessel have abandoned ship after reportedly being hit by two missiles off the coast of Yemen. It's the latest attack by Houthi rebels in the area who claim the ship suffered catastrophic damage. John Beaver reports.
The Ruby Mar cargo ship was travelling from Saudi Arabia to Bulgaria when it came under attack in the Gulf of Aden near the Red Sea. Initial reports suggest it was hit by two missiles, forcing the vessel to stop and the crew to abandon ship. There are not believed to have been any fatalities. Yemen-based Houthi rebels have claimed responsibility and claim the vessel is now at risk of sinking. Attacks have been underway for the last 3 months against countries the Houthis believe to be supporting Israel in their war against Palestine. The Ruby Mar operates under the flag of Belize, but is British registered. The UK and US military have carried out a number of strikes on targets in Yemen to try and protect the thousands of ships that use the critical waterway. John Beaver reporting.
Now remember, because of what's going on in the Red Sea, they're having to go all the way around Africa to deliver things, and that is backing up stuff for about 2 weeks. So if you don't think we're at war, think again. Okay. I'm going to get through this as fast as I can, David, because I'm really, really interested in getting to what you're going to talk about today. So the next thing, remember how they want Trump in jail, and what happens if he wins? Does Secret Service protect him? They have to under law. So how many Secret Service agents are going to be in prison? I'd love to know that kind of stuff. But anyway, let's listen to what's going on with another politician in jail that just won an election, and this is in Pakistan.
Two major political parties in Pakistan have failed to finalise a power-sharing agreement after days of coalition talks. This, even as jailed former Prime Minister Imran Khan's party has renewed calls demanding a probe into allegations of election rigging. Hira Mustafa has more from Islamabad.
Bilawal Bhutto, the chairman of Pakistan People's Party, says it has declined a proposed plan put forth by Nawaz Sharif's party that would have seen him become prime minister for 2 of the 5 years in power. However, Bhutto says talks between both sides continue without specifying when government formation is expected to be finalized. Nawaz Sharif's party says it will continue to try and find a solution to form a coalition government quickly. Meanwhile, Pakistan's Supreme Court has adjourned for later in the week, hearing a petition that claims the February 8th polls should be cancelled for not being democratic amid allegations of rigging. Hira Mustafa, Islamabad.
And next up, Ukraine. Everybody wants to know what's going on with Ukraine, of course. And did you know that one of the strongholds in the Ukraine, this is one that Zelensky keeps on talking about how they're holding firm, right? Well, They gave up.
Ukraine's military chief announced the withdrawal of troops from Avdiivka in eastern Ukraine, where defenders faced a prolonged Russian assault.
The move aims to prevent encirclement and safeguard servicemen's lives amid Russia's search for a morale boost ahead of the second anniversary of its invasion of Ukraine and the upcoming Russian presidential election. Chris Anderson reporting.
Oh, yeah, I'm seeing it's really going to uplift Russia. No, it really is. What they're saying is that Russia just won another area of the Ukraine. It's another reason why if you are there, get out, because Russia is not going to lose, no matter what the talking heads on Fox News or anywhere else tell you. They're outnumbered, they're outmanned, they're outgunned, and they are just going to lose. The end of conversation, in my opinion. Okay, now then, the only other one I'm going to play is about this guy that died in Russia. We'll put a spotlight on it this time around. So let's listen to this one real quick.
With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks. Today, Vladimir Putin's culpability for the death of Alexei Navalny, the latest in a host of figures who opposed the Russian leader politically and ended up paying with their lives. Navalny's death in a prison camp in the Arctic north of the country brought to an end not only his 47-year life, but also his heroic struggle for democracy in his homeland. Russian agents almost killed him 4 years ago, poisoning him with the nerve agent Novichok while he flew on a passenger plane. His life was saved by German doctors, but Navalny then decided to return to Russia, knowing the possible fate that awaited him. Bill Browder is a prominent critic of Vladimir Putin and an anti-corruption activist.
It's not as if this hasn't happened before. Boris Nemtsov, who was another opponent of Vladimir Putin, was gunned down in front of the Kremlin. Sergei Magnitsky, who was my lawyer, who uncovered a massive government corruption scheme in which Putin was a beneficiary, was killed in a Russian prison after he exposed the corruption scheme. Anna Politkovskaya, who was the person exposing atrocities in Chechnya, was killed. I could spend the next hour telling you about people who, in one way or another, were inconvenient to Putin, who were killed. For anyone to cast doubt on him being a killer, it's absurd.
Over the weekend, hundreds of Russians trying to honor Navalny's memory were arrested. With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks.
I think that's kind of stuff we already knew, really. Anyway, that's got the world's attention. And what they need to be talking about is what we're going to be talking about today, is as in the days of Noah, so shall the end times be. Real quick, David, before you get going, I'll just throw a couple of things out here real quick. Some of these, all these are accurate reports, but I don't really have any time to go over them, okay? Number one, there's a report out now that Joe Biden's great-great-grandfather was pardoned by Abraham Lincoln for attempted murder. So I guess, you know, it doesn't fall too far from the tree there. Then you've got Democrats.
All related.
You have Democrats, not Republicans. I want to make this clear. This is Democrats that are saying that they're having a very difficult time with President Biden because of soiled couches in the White House. So he's not being able to control himself there. Yeah, I know it sounds terrible, but it's true. Okay, if you don't believe me, just look it up.
But funny.
Yeah, you can find it. You can find it online. Also, The View. I know people just love listening to Whoopi and company on The View, right? Well, they are warning Joe Biden, do not debate Donald Trump. You'll lose. And when you lose, you'll lose the election. This is funny stuff, okay? But even they have given up on him. Okay, so I got the news out of the way, David. I did it in warp time. Okay, you have got the rest of the time for you. I'm gonna put the title up here.
Train.
Yeah, I'm going to put the title up real quick,
but,
As in the Days of Noah. And as you can see, we're looking for that imminent rapture, because the rapture could happen at any time. That doesn't mean I'm calling the shot that it's happening today. It means it's imminent, that it's time for it. That's all. Okay, so anyway, David, it's all yours, sir. Go ahead.
Time. Yeah, you know, it's because of this news. I mean, we have it's pretty much the same old news now that we've
it really
been
is.
Having.
Yeah.
And it's the same news that we've been having for, you know, 4,000 years, yeah, too.
Right.
It's just, you know, they got different characters that are in there now, too. Right. So this is the train, if you like that. I do like that picture.
Yeah, just run, because the train is coming down the tracks. It's going to take us out, that's for sure.
Down the track. I was experimenting with AI picture-making things, and I said, all right, show me a train that's running off the tracks and falling over. And I got this one first. I was like, well, it's not exactly what I asked for, but it's cool. So I said, well, let me get that one, too.
There you go.
And then I saw another guy who he put in Jesus flipping over tables at the temple. Mm. And it literally had Jesus and he did a flip over the table.
Like, they didn't get that
maybe
one right.
Maybe I should reword that.
Yeah, they didn't get that one right.
And it's like, everywhere you go, it's like, prove you're not a robot. You know, which pictures have stairs in it? If AI can't figure out what pictures have stairs in it, why is everybody so afraid of it?
Yeah, that's true. Good point.
Anyway, it's all a ruse that they're playing up AI right now, and they're playing it so fast. All of a sudden, everyone sees it everywhere, and that's because the rapture is imminent.
Right.
This news is just pointing to it, and it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. The rapture is there, and Satan has to get people to actually believe that AI is smarter than us.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not. It's just very fast at making calculations.
Yeah.
Okay, but it has no sentience. It can't think for itself. It can't make decisions. It, no matter what they try and tell you, everything that those robots say was programmed by a human.
Correct.
Say, if this happens, then say this. If this happens, then say that. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, it's so smart. And it's like, not really. Not really. It's just controlled by a very smart individual at this point, but not a very righteous one. Let's say
that's
that.
The truth. Yeah. Okay.
And so we talk about the rapture often, and we have to be honest with people that say there is no rapture. The word's not in the Bible. Well, clearly, you know, we've been over this ad infinitum. The word is harpazo in the Greek, and it means snatching away. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, every single one of the early church fathers in that first century afterwards talked about the imminent return of Christ, and they called it different things.
Mm-hmm.
They called it out of the midst. Oh, when the church is taken out of the midst is one of the words. And then it says, you know, the disappearing, which is in, where it says falling away in the King James.
Mm-hmm.
All of the 1500 translations said disappearing, like Tyndale and all them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until the King's like, no, we can't have that. We have to say falling away, because then it points to the Catholic Church who fell away from the truth.
Okay.
So they change the terminology there. But I wanted to make sure everyone knew, it says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then those who are alive and remain with him shall be caught up in the air together to meet Jesus in the clouds.
Right.
All right. That's a big picture. So now the big question is not whether there's going to be a rapture. The big question is when is the rapture?
Right.
And if you're honest, then what you're going to say is, okay, there is a rapture, but when is it?
Yeah.
Now, I can really understand when people say, oh, it's mid-trib or it's this trip, you know, it's post or or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand, because I can see if you don't work out the word correctly and see where all these things are coming from, you can take some verses that are not rapture centric and put them on. And you you put them into the rapture,
right?
Like Matthew 24, specifically, it's the disciples are here. They are. It's towards the end of Jesus' ministry, right? And they're like, hey, look at the temple. Isn't that great? Aren't you going to come back and rule and reign in that temple? This is kind of their thinking,
right?
Because they didn't know Jesus was going to die,
right? Even though he told them.
Yeah, he told them. Yeah, how many times? But he told me, and they're like, "Oh, I don't get it." And they thought that he was there at that time to usher in that what Isaiah talked about, what we know today as the millennium, the thousand year reign of Christ. But they saw it as the time when Jesus was going to rule on the earth, and they really thought that that was going to happen.
Right.
And there was no church at this point, because this was before the chicken event, where he said, where Jerusalem denied Christ.
Mm-hmm.
When he's in Matthew 24, they hadn't denied him yet. And it was mm-hmm. still that little possibility, even though we know what's going to happen.
Right.
It's still a little possibility that the Jews would accept him as a savior. And that would have ushered him in to rule on the earth at that time. This is what the disciples are thinking.
Yeah.
They're no way, shape, or form were thinking about, oh, Jesus is going to die. He's going to come back from the dead. We're going to have the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have this church thing for 2,000 years.
Yeah,
even, no, Peter, they didn't have
even Peter said, that ain't happening. I'm not going to let them kill you. Yeah, well, how'd that work out for him? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So now Jesus comes on. He's with Moses and Elijah on mm-hmm. the Mount of Transfiguration.
Mm-hmm.
And what does he say? Oh, man, this is great. I'm going to build a house for each one of you. Moses, Jesus, and Elijah. And what happens?
Boosh.
Oh, this is my son.
Uh-huh, okay. Right.
Well, why specifically Moses and Elijah? Why Peter? Well, mm-hmm. he's the rock. He's going to teach, he's going to build this foundation. So now he's starting to teach Peter. No, Moses represents the law. Elijah represents the prophets. Mm-hmm. The law and the prophets are done.
Right.
Now at the age of grace, this is my son. This is my beloved son. Hear ye him.
Right.
Even he says the law and the prophets were until John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's a time of the law and the prophets being done.
Right.
Okay. But and then we bounce back to Daniel chapter 9. It says that 70th week in the midst of that last week, 69 weeks up until the Messiah, the King, Mashiach HaNagid. Mm. So up until that time was 69 weeks. Well, there's still 1 week left, right, which is unto thy people, Daniel.
Mm.
So that is my first picture that I want to present to people, that you can't have the church on the earth at any point during that tribulation period, because it is specifically for the Jews and that last week of Daniel chapter 9.
And I think that's where people have the biggest argument. You know, the church is there. Everybody, you know, they come up with something, some kind of different verses that, you know, again, nitpicking or you know, cherry picking the Bible to come up with how they feel like the church is there. But I've read Revelation and I don't see it.
Yeah, it's not. It's clearly not. Now, we could spend days going over why it's not and how you can see the picture. Revelation, literally, I did a Bible study on it with our class over here. It took over 3 years just to get through Revelation.
Right.
But what you're going to see is the two witnesses have all of the same attributes of Moses and Elijah.
Mm.
Okay. Okay. And he talks about the 144,000 Jews that are, you know, saved and marked on their foreheads, and 12,000 from each tribe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very Jewish centric because the law and the prophets came back.
Right.
Moses and Elijah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we see that there, and the church cannot, just simply cannot be in that time frame. I so totally it must be agree. Taken out.
Totally agree.
Yeah. And then we have the picture. The reason people lump those together, well, Matthew 24 says after the tribulation and those, well, yeah, but that's for the Jews. They don't understand that the Jews have a separate promise than the church,
right,
what we call the ecclesia. And oftentimes they will use the, we're, you know, in Christ, there's no Jew or Gentile. We're all one in Christ. Well, yes, if they're in Christ,
mm-hmm.
because ecclesia means to be called out, so that he calls us out of the nations, or he calls us out of Israel mm-hmm. and makes a new man.
Right.
And there's no Jew or Gentile in the church. That's correct.
Right.
But there's still the Jewish nation, mm-hmm. and then there's the church.
Right.
And that's the difference. So we could be called out of anywhere.
Right.
And then be the church. But if you haven't been, then you're still part of the Jewish nation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they don't see the difference. They kind of lump salvation all into one thing. Right. No, people have different ranks. Just like, you know, they're at the military, there's the Air Force, the Navy, the Marines, mm-hmm. the Army and Space Force and the Merchant Marines. There's mm-hmm. all sorts of different branches and ranks. And that's what we have in the heavenlies. There's different branches and ranks. When you understand that, you can understand some of the language. Does it speak to the Jews? Does it speak to the mm-hmm. church?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there is a big difference. Yeah, there's a separation there for sure.
Yeah. So the tribulation period, that 7 years, is specifically for the nation of Israel who has not repented yet.
Right.
It is in order to engender them to repentance.
Right.
It's a time of Jacob's trouble, and the short story is going to smack them around until they finally get it, and then mm-hmm. they will say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord."
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Totally agree.
So let's jump before the flood, because this is where it all started.
Okay. Now. Okay.
So here we are in Genesis, and so they print it all blurry on here. Hold on a minute. Oh, that's better. So we have this dude called Enoch.
Yep, heard of him.
Yep. And Enoch is pretty cool. We first see him in the Bible in Genesis chapter 5. And let me see. Noah, where are we? And it's just going through the genealogies.
Okay.
And it was Jared. Now, Jared means a descent. So he descended because during the time of Jared, that's when the fallen angels descended on the earth and screwed everything up for us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then they had stole the women and raped them, and they had the giants and all that. So descent was in the times of Jared, and then he begot Enoch. And Enoch, here he is, Hanak in the Hebrew.
Okay.
And let me see here. Sorry.
Well, it's okay. I mean, look at all this stuff up. It's not easy. It's not easy going through 66 books. Yeah, gotcha. Go ahead.
Things are getting in my way on this. So probably to narrow, to compare, to initiate, to discipline, to train up. Mm. So, Hanak. Mm. Let's see what the complete word study says. To dedicate. So it's a dedication. So here we see this guy who's dedicated, and he's training up and he's teaching. And now he's doing this for 300 years. He gets so close. And if you read the book of Enoch, which we don't have time to get into now, but you'll see the fallen angels were trying to talk him into going to God and saying, "Hey, God, you want to forgive these guys?" And God's like, "They're supposed to be interceding for you. And why are you here interceding for them?"
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So that's a big old story there, and that's where we find several quotes. If you think of that just alone, you'll think of at least a couple of quotes mm-hmm. that are in the New Testament that point back to that part.
Mm-hmm.
So then we have in the book of Jubilees, we actually get a little bit more of the story here.
Now, real quick, I'm gonna tell people, you're not gonna find Enoch, you're not gonna find the Jubilees in the official Bible, if you want to call it that. It's kind of like I don't really know how to describe this.
There's extra books that are historical.
It's
and
like
used for
if you're reading let's say you're reading a history book on Abraham Lincoln. Okay. Well, there's going to be other books that have more information than the one book that you're reading. It's like a reference to or something like that, or an edition or whatever you want to call it. Well, the same thing applies to the Holy Bible. I mean, just because it's not in the Bible doesn't mean it's not accurate. That doesn't mean it doesn't depict some facts to it, too. So I know there's parts that we might not particularly agree with or whatever in certain ones of them. Well, okay, take what is there. I don't even know how to describe it, David. You're much better at describing how all that works than me.
Yeah, we have a boiled down. This is essential knowledge, and that's in the Bible.
Yes.
And it was specifically handwritten by Perfect. God. But then there's other books. If we wanted further information, he gave them to us.
Yeah, okay.
But this is cool. We got a couple minutes before we jump out of the first half. But in the book of Jubilees, it says Jared took himself a wife whose name was Baraka. So Enoch's mom was Baraka.
Mm, okay.
And daughter of his father, and she bare him a son the fifth week in the fourth year of the Jubilee and called his name Enoch. And check this out. This is why I wanted to say this. He was the first among men that are born on earth who learned writing and knowledge and wisdom, and who wrote down the signs of heaven according to the order of their months in a book that might know Men might know the seasons and the years according to their separate months, and the first to write a testimony.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Jude called him the prophet. He first to write a testimony, and he testified of the sons of men and the generations of the earth and recounted the weeks of Jubilees. So he talks all about that. Mm-hmm. So he was the one that started his writing, but he was so close and dedicated to learning and getting close to God that we see that God took him up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a picture of the rapture. And we'll get into that in a little bit because we're about to head out. So here's the picture. A lot of people use Noah as a picture of the rapture.
Right.
Well, Noah is actually more of a picture of Israel going through the destruction, being protected in the ark.
Right.
Where Enoch was taken up before the flood, and he predicted the flood. Mm-hmm. And he said, this is going to happen, boom, 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 and the watchers are going to be destroyed, et cetera, et cetera. And then he was taken up because he walked with God,
right.
And he was not.
Right.
Now, Noah was protected through the flood.
Right.
So here we still have, they have that same picture again, that the church will be taken up before the destruction, and Israel will be protected through the destruction and come out on the other end.
Just as in the days of Noah. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. As in the days of Noah. Mm-hmm. So now we will rule and reign in the heavenly realm with Christ. Okay. Just like Enoch did. He went up there and interceded and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then Noah went through and repopulated the earth.
Right.
Same thing's going to happen. We're going to rule and reign with Jesus, because we're the picture of Enoch, but the Jews are going to be saved through, and they're going to rule and reign on the earth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
and from Jews.
I've got one thing here. I'm going to put the title screen back up here for a second, mm-hmm. where we can do this. Do you see for those of you who don't see this visual form, you might want to go to www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net, and you get this in visual form. You look at that, there's what, six guys there, and the seventh one is raptured. Now,
yep.
You know, I don't know, and we'll get into this more in the second half of the show, but I think that the percentages on that are kind of similar to the way that the rapture is going to be when it happens, because I don't think there's many people going to be raptured. Now, that's just my personal opinion. There's a bunch of people call themselves Christians that aren't going to be raptured, in my opinion. David, what do you think in what we got?
Well, he said the road is narrow, and yeah. We'll get into that in a minute, too, when we come back.
Yeah, okay. Well, we do hope that you guys will stick in there with us. We'll be back right after a very short break with the second half, and David's going to get into it more in depth and go into more examples of the rapture in the Old Testament.
From Feature Story News in the UK, I'm John Beaver. The European Union has launched a naval mission to protect global shipping in the Red Sea after recent attacks by Houthi rebels in Yemen. France and Italy are among the member states to confirm their navies will deploy ships. Giles Gibson has more.
The European Commission says this operation, which has been dubbed Aspides, the Greek word for shield, will help to ensure freedom of navigation, especially for merchant and commercial vessels. Since last autumn, Houthi rebels have been attacking cargo vessels passing through the Red Sea with rockets and drones. And just this week, the crew of a British-registered vessel were forced to abandon ship off the coast of Yemen after another missile attack. However, the EU is clear that this mission only has a defensive mandate. That's in contrast to the US and UK, which have launched retaliatory strikes on Houthi targets inside Yemen itself.
The UK's Foreign Secretary has promised to protect and defend the Falkland Islands during his visit to the British Overseas Territory. Simon Gaitan reports.
British Foreign Secretary David Cameron's trip to the Falkland Islands comes amid renewed diplomatic tensions with Argentina over their claimed sovereignty of the archipelago. Argentina's recently elected president, Javier Milei, has renewed calls for the self-governing islands to be handed over and has attempted to broach negotiations on the issue. Cameron has said that the island's sovereignty is not up for discussion. On his visit, Cameron vowed to support, defend and protect the Falkland Islands for as long as they want to be a part of the UK family. He added that the British government wants to have good relations with Argentina, but that this would never be at the expense of the Falkland Islanders' wishes. Argentine Governor Gustavo Malaya called his presence on the islands a new provocation.
WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange will hear this week whether the UK can deport him to the US to face espionage charges. At a hearing at the High Court in London, his legal team are arguing that the extradition request is politically motivated and should be rejected. Stuart Smith reports.
Assange is wanted in the US because he published hundreds of thousands of classified documents in 2010 and 2011, an act which the US Justice Department says was illegal and threatened lives. WikiLeaks says it's a political prosecution because his disclosures revealed criminal wrongdoing by the US military. Assange hasn't been a free man for over a dozen years. He spent the last five in an English prison fighting extradition, and before that, 7 years under self-imposed diplomatic protection at the Ecuadorian embassy in London while avoiding Swedish sex crime charges, which his supporters say were also politically motivated.
From Bureaus Worldwide, this is FSN.
And welcome back to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams, so you can't see me, but I'm here. And there in New York City is Mr. David Paxton. And David, I do want to get back into where the rapture is. We've teased it that the rapture's in the Old Testament, and we gave one example, but I know you got more, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, we got a bunch. That's just Enoch and Noah going through it, so we see a different picture there. I wanted to check this out too, the book of Enoch.
Okay.
I don't know if anyone's ever read that. So check this out. People are like, oh, why isn't Enoch in the Bible? And blah, 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 blah. Well, let's just read it.
Okay.
It says right here, and this is the R.H. Charles version. So check this out. I'm just going to read a couple of verses, and then you see if anything stands out.
Okay.
The words of the blessing of Enoch, wherewith he blessed the elect and righteous, who will be living in the day of tribulation, when all the wicked and godless are to be removed.
Oh.
And he took up this parable and said, Enoch, a righteous man whose eyes were opened by God, saw the vision of the Holy One in the heavens, which the angels showed me. And from them I heard everything, and from them I understood as I saw, but not for this generation, but for a remote which is for to come.
Mm-hmm.
Concerning the elect, I said, and took up my parable concerning them. And then he goes into it.
Wow. I mean, I think it nailed it. I think that really nailed it, because
you know why it was hidden for all these years.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we are that last generation, in my opinion. Okay, I mean, it's not written in the Bible. It doesn't tell me, you know, okay, in 2024, you're the last generation. But whenever you read it, I don't see any other option for it.
And they finally found it again, like just in the, I think it was like the 1800s. So we're here. It's not that long ago they actually found it again. Right. It was a couple thousand years it was kind of hidden.
Yeah.
And why?
Yeah.
It says this is it, that rumor, but for a remote generation, is actually says the terminal generation.
Mm-hmm. That's last.
So it's the last one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he said living in the day of tribulation. So we're getting to study all this and see what he says, but this is specifically for the Jews living in the day of the tribulation period.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
We brought it out now so we can do all this learning and everything about it. But this, he's like, I'm going to write everything. And just like our frame says, as in the days of Noah, Enoch's like, okay, you know that phrase? Read this book.
Right. There you go. That's it. That's perfect.
Yep. So now they'll be able to understand all this weird nonsense that's happening on the earth, like right now, and about to get weirder and weirder
every day.
So, yeah. So that's Enoch, and he was caught up before that, but it's because he sought God. He sought wisdom, and he walked with God. Mm-hmm. So if we're walking with God, we're going to get caught up in a rapture and go be with him right away.
Amen.
So that's Enoch and Noah. All right. So let's move on to you ever hear this dude named Isaac?
Oh my goodness, yes! One of the big time prophets you just pulled right there.
Yay, Yitzhak, which means laughter. His mother laughed. So check this out. You know what? Let's real quick about your picture. You said it's going to be a lot less people than we think.
Yeah.
There's going to be an awfully lot less. And yeah. Just real quick.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I'll put it up there. I'll put it up there for you. I'll throw it back up there for you. There you go.
Well, check it out. It's going to be a lot less than that, because a lot of people will say, Lord, Lord, you know, didn't I do what you know, didn't I cast out demons in your name? Didn't I do marvelous works? He says, who are you? I don't know you.
Again, you know, this is just me. It's not, you know, I'm here listening to you more than anything else, but you know, I think it's going to be more like 100 to 1, 1,000 to 1, maybe even more than that.
Million to 1. And it's possible.
Yeah.
But when we read Matthew chapter 7, you can really, really see. It says in 13, it says, enter at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat.
Yeah.
So many people go in there.
I don't want to be with them. Go ahead.
Straight. It says the straight gate, going to straight gate. That means narrow from obstacles forming. And it has, who did that? There we go. Okay. Straight and narrow, referencing, and it's crowded in and is distressed. And it has the idea of like rocky crevices. And and now you've got to go through this gate, and it's crowded in there. You can hardly move because it's really hard to actually, number one, drop yourself and know that you are a sinner, and then go to God and humble yourself before him and give yourself to him. But it also says narrow is the way. Mm-hmm. And so that stenos there, and narrow is phlebo. And that is also to crowd. Okay. So it's going to be really, really tight is what he's saying.
Right.
To press together, to conflict, to compress, in the sense of made very narrow, figuratively to oppress with evil, distress, crush, tribulation, all these different terms. That's what the gate is like. So he says you will have tribulations if you follow me. They're going to persecute you if you follow
me. If you think life gets easy when you become a Christian, I got news for you. That ain't it. Okay. That is not it. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, you're going to be ridiculed. You eventually going to be persecuted. You might even be killed for Christ, but, you are going to have eternal life if you do accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that's better than the people that just cut your head off, because they're not.
Yeah, that's only for a little bit.
Yeah, they're going to go the other way. I'm sorry, David. I just had to throw that in there. Go ahead.
No, that's good. Okay, so here, let's back to Isaac. So Isaac's there. He's the promised son, and God calls him the firstborn son. Even your firstborn son, Abraham. And he's like, what? But I had this other kid first. And he's like, no. It's the same picture as we see. Adam was first, but we have the last Adam. So here he is. He wasn't the firstborn son, but he was the head of the house, firstborn in title.
Right.
Okay. That's what he meant by that. So in chapter 22 in Genesis, I got to go through this too, because I got a couple more. But so you guys can look it up. So in Genesis 22, we see Isaac is brought up by Abraham to the mountain, and he's going to sacrifice him, and he's like, no. And so that's when we see Isaac there in 22, and Abraham comes down with his two servants. We don't have any mention of Isaac coming down. Things happen along the way, and it's not till a couple chapters later that we see Isaac, who is representing at this point Jesus, the Messiah, being sacrificed. He's a sacrificial lamb. God will provide himself a lamb.
Right.
So the next time we see him is in 24. And check out in 24, he says 62 even. So it's even kind of far away. And Isaac came from the way of Lahai-Arai, for he dwelt in the country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide, and he lifted up his eyes, and he saw, and behold, the camels were coming. We do not see Isaac again until he sees his wife coming. He gets off his camel to go meet her. She comes out halfway to meet him.
Ah, okay. Yeah, okay.
That is a picture of the rapture. He's sacrificed, and the next time we see him, he's coming to get his bride.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
And so in what happened in between there? Well, we don't see him anywhere, but we see Abraham's helper. Now, we all know from the previous passages, the name of Abraham's helper is Eliezer, which means God is my helper, which is also the Holy Spirit.
Right. Okay.
So now we have Abraham, the father, the helper, goes to find a bride for Isaac, the son.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes out to a far country out of Abraham's family over there.
I had always wondered, and you've answered it here in the last couple of minutes, but I've always wondered, how come they even talked about that in the Bible? I mean, what's the point of telling me how he got a wife? I mean, you know, that's one of those parts in the Bible, you know, as a new Christian, you go through and you're reading it, you know, and you see that and you're like, okay, that's all right, whatever. And you just keep going. It doesn't register, you know, and I don't think it registered with me, and even several times reading the Bible until you just explained it. And now it makes sense why it's there.
Exactly. That's why it's there. And that's what Paul says. It was a mystery. Not a mystery like it's spooky, but a mystery like, hey, this was hidden in the Bible before. Right. Now I'm going to tell you what it means.
Right.
So we see Eliezer, who goes out and he finds a good, it's just a beautiful bride. He's looking for that. And he offers her all these gifts. So now we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
To basically say, these are the things that your groom will have, and he wants to be your husband, and we have chosen you, but she also has to choose back.
Right.
Okay. Right. So when Jesus says, yes, you didn't choose me, but I chose you, he's right.
Yeah.
You chose you, but we also have to choose him back.
Yes.
That's how we take the cup in communion. We take that contract. Amen. That's a marriage contract. Mm-hmm. So we see this whole picture of the Holy Spirit going to get a bride from outside Abraham's family to bring in for his son. And that's the next time we see Isaac. That is a clear, unmitigated picture of the rapture right there.
Absolutely. Okay? Absolutely.
And then he comes halfway to meet her, and she comes out to meet him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly what we see. Yeah. Jesus will come in the air. We'll go up to meet him in the air.
Right.
Exactly the same thing. So that's two raptures in the Old Testament.
So let's go on to
shofar. Remember that dude named Lot?
Oh yes, yeah. His wife is still a pillar of salt there somewhere.
She's very salty. Okay, so let me see. Flocks and herds. Which chapter is it? 19. So here they are. They're in chapter 19 in Genesis. It's Lot. And he's like all sorts of in the world, right? He's in Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of a family show, but they wanted to do things to the two angels that came that are unseemly.
Yeah.
But check this out.
Stuff that we're trying to protect in law today, they did then. And look what happened to them. You don't want it happening to you. Just think about that one for a minute. Yeah. Go ahead, David.
So Abraham's like, will you protect the city if there's 50 righteous men? God's like, okay. Well, how about 45? Okay. How about 40? Okay. Now you know he's really Jewish, right? He goes all the way to the 10. All right, already, 10. Why did he stop at 10? Why didn't he say 5? Why didn't he just say, hey, I just want Lot and his wife, you know? Why did he stop at 10?
Well, my understanding is because of the members of his family, the number of people that were in his family. I mean, that's how
in Lot's family.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's a really good supposition. A lot of people will say that it's from the Ecclesia too. So I think it has both meanings.
Okay.
You needed a council of 10 to actually being able to influence society. Okay. So that's why he stopped at 10. But he also knew you had Lot and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
You had two daughters, which were still virgin daughters at home.
Uh-huh.
Had another daughter and her husband, and then another daughter and her husband, and then two sons.
Mm-hmm.
That's 10.
Yeah.
So that's just a supposition, but that makes sense to me because it says his sons and his daughters and his sons-in-law.
Yeah.
So that just adds up to 10 to me. And then his sons-in-law were actually made fun of him. It's like, hey, they're making fun of this clown. So now we see, okay, great. There's the 10 that were supposed to be saved. And that's cut down to like 4.
Right.
Right. And then even after that, one of them kind of went wacky.
Uh-huh.
And then the other two got a little bit wackier and had boa bites. So we won't, you go read it and then you'll figure out what I mean.
Yeah.
But it was, the point is, it was cut down. Right. But here's what happened. The angel specifically came down and said to him, and I'm going fast because, you know, time.
Yeah.
They specifically said to him, we cannot send destruction on the city until we get you out.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's
that was by
figure
orders
out
of
exactly
God.
What he said.
Yeah, that was by orders of God, by the way. Yeah. Go
ahead. Right. And they're telling them out. And Lot went out and spoke with his sons-in-law. I'm in Genesis 19:14. And he spoke with his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, get up and get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. Kind of like what we're saying now. The Lord is coming. Mm-hmm. There's destruction, but you can come with me and be saved. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. So they were making fun of him. And when the morning came, the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And check this out. Check this out. Check this out. And while he lingered.
Bad mistake.
So it's like, dude, get out.
You're being told that this is destruction is upon you, like just like we're evangelizing or trying to people today. Tell them, you know, this is going to happen. It's going to happen. You better pay attention. Okay, go ahead, David. I'm sorry.
You know what I see there? I see a lot of people even today saying, oh, but I don't want him to come yet because I want to make sure my son is saved, or I want to make sure my friend is saved. I want to make but all these people are going to be saved. Listen. No matter what minute it is, there will be people who still need to be saved, and they already made their choices.
Right.
This is why he's lingering here, because he's like, hey, my sons-in-law and my daughters, and my married daughter, I want them to come with me.
Right.
Okay? That's why he's lingering. He's like still at the last minute, he's trying to pull them along.
Right.
And you can see that picture. So check this out. While he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto them.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought him forth and set him without the city. They literally pulled all of them because God was merciful, pulled them out of the city, and put them over there.
Yeah. They didn't walk. They didn't even run. They just were there. No.
There was no train, no Uber, nothing.
Right.
He picked them up because he was merciful. Picked them up and put them outside the city because the destruction hit like a couple seconds later.
Amen.
Like, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to pass when they had brought them forth from abroad, he said, escape for your life. Look not behind thee. So that's where people get the idea that they ran. No, it was after it came to pass when they brought them forth, then they ran into the mountains.
Right.
So we're going to see that again. So that's Lot.
Mm-hmm.
So there's 3 so far.
And that's just far.
And here's a clue. That's just in Genesis.
Yeah, you are correct.
Yep.
Yeah.
That is just in Genesis, because Genesis tells the whole story of creation.
And that's the very first book of the Bible, people. That's the very first book of the Bible.
Okay, so you're long, you know. So you might remember another guy named Danny.
Daniel?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Now, you get bonus points if anybody can name the Hebrew names of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Oh, boy. I have hit just pronouncing those names. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, those are tough enough. Just sing the song. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
Yeah. Nobody wants to hear me sing.
That's a good song. You got to get you got to get the jazz version of that, the old one. All right. Nebuchadnezzar took out, and let me see, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah.
Okay.
And they're cool because remember later on, they're thrown in the fire, right?
Right. Uh-huh. Right.
So
the fiery
what furnace. Happened in the fire?
Well, the Lord protect. There was three that went in, and there was a fourth, known as the Lord, that joined them and protected them from the fiery furnace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they were protected through, right?
Correct.
Okay, because that was Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. Mm-hmm. Where was Daniel?
He was nowhere to be found in this particular story.
He's not in this story. He's in the whole book is about Daniel.
So what's okay. up with that?
Yeah, and here's something cool. There is this book called The Song of the Three Hebrew Boys, and it's really really cool.
Uh huh. Okay.
And so what it is. It's the Prayer of Azariah, it's called also. So it's a song of the three Hebrew boys or the Prayer of Azariah. Okay. It is literally the prayer that they said while they were in there.
Oh.
It's really, really long. And for some reason, they took it out. It was just past chapter 3 in Daniel. And it's like, hey, the boys were in here, and this was their prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a big old prayer. And
I would have been saying a long prayer, too, if I was in a fiery furnace. Yeah.
Yeah, and they were just praising his name.
Right.
Praise with the, you know, the blessed is the Lord that of the wind, blessed is the Lord of the sea, blessed is the water tornado, and bless and he's in the trees. And bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Oh man, it's powerful.
Yeah.
I like to sleep with that because it's remarkable. I actually did I guess you can call it a skit at one of my conferences, and I just had the big old fire in the back.
Mm-hmm.
But if you read it, it's really powerful just because it says, bless the Lord in here, bless the Lord in this, bless the Lord over and over and over. It just takes over your spirit. It's wonderful. Mm. And then it talks about why they weren't burnt.
Okay. And?
Because there was a whirlwind in the center of it that Jesus was producing, and literally they were in a center, like the eye of the storm.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense,
so
too.
Jesus was in the center. It was all spinning around him, which is why they had no smoke. They didn't even smell like smoke because of the eye of the storm. It was all pushing out. There was Jesus in the middle with them. And that's all told in the Prayer of Azariah. So you just go look it up, folks.
Yeah.
You want to get an extracurricular book. Get that one.
We'll give you some bonus points for reading it. Yeah, go ahead.
And your bonus points. Okay. And you get extra. You get 100 points if you can remember what was the name of Enoch's mom. Because we told you in the first half of the show. You get 100 extra points for that.
Oh, boy. Okay.
So that's what we see in Daniel. But so the supposition is that because Daniel he worked for the king. So he was probably on some kind of a mission for the king and away at the time.
Uh-huh.
So that kind of gives the idea of, okay, Daniel's away on a mission for the king, but the boys still went through the fire. Right. So Daniel was taken away, but the boys were protected through. Mm-hmm. Again, a picture of the church being taken away.
Right.
And Israel being protected through.
Amen. Okay. Yeah. All this makes sense when you say it, but, you know, I mean, like I told you before, I've read all these stories before, and I had my own, you know, not interpretation, but my own understanding of it or lack thereof. And, you know, you've straightened out a lot of that for me. I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Well, it's been lost. I mean, people understood this. Paul understood this clearly. And I'm sure, you know, the early church would explain this, but it's just got lost through the dark ages and all that.
Yeah.
Which is why they were dark.
Mm-hmm. But in the last generation finds it all out. That's the cool part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then we got time for one more.
Okay.
I remember Elijah.
Yes.
Okay. And let me
are we getting
see.
To the so whirlwind? Is that what we're talking?
Yeah.
Cool. I like this story.
Yep. And 2 Kings, and we're gonna start. It's in this. Well, let's go right to the beginning of it. Second Kings.
All right.
All right. The angel of the Lord said to Elijah to Tishbite. I don't know what a Tishbite is, but arise and go meet the messengers and the king. Okay. We'll skip down. You said, knock him out of the bed. And Elijah departed. And then Elijah said, Tishbite. And then it's verse 10. Elijah answered the captain of 50. Elijah went down and answered down. Okay. So verse 15, the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him and be not afraid. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. And the king said unto him, thus saith the Lord, for as much as I have sent messengers, Zebub, the god of Ekron. So he's sending him down, and then he died. And let me see. Now, the rest of the acts of Azariah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles in the kings of Israel? So there's the end of Elijah's life. And it said, it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Okay. And so here's Elisha saying, I want a double portion. So he talks about that. And there's a few other places too, but we're at the end, and I really want you to be able to pray for people and with people to get them in. So Elijah said to Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord sent me to Jericho, in chapter 2, as the Lord liveth, as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And then so they came to Jericho. So here's a picture of it. He's going to go up in the rapture, but Elisha was like, I am not going to leave you. And he's hanging on to him. And then he got the mantle as well, and he got the double portion.
Okay.
So Elijah took his mantle in verse 8:8 and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided, and they went over on dry ground. And then in verse 11, it came to pass when they still went on and talked there. So he's like, I'm walking over this water. I'm doing all these different things.
Right.
A lot of pictures. It came to pass as they talked, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire. There appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder, separated them. Okay. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind unto heaven, and Elisha saw it and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw them no more. And he took off his own, took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces and took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. I see this as we're getting near the end, Elisha is getting jealous, just like you said, you know, it's to engender jealousy. The church will make Israel jealous. So as we're getting closer to the end, they're going to start to see there was a Messiah. They're going to like, hey, I'm going to go up. And they're like, they're going to be like, oh, I want to hold on. Can you give me the anointing yet? Can you give me the anointing yet? And then when we go up to be with the Lord, then now the anointing falls on them. And they'll be the messengers throughout the tribulation period.
Makes sense.
That's what I see there.
Now, David has covered a bunch, but he didn't go through all of it, believe it or not, because we didn't have enough time. We just simply didn't have enough time. Now, our next show is our verse by verse, and I wish I could tell you that we're going to continue this discussion on that show, but we're not. We're going to go back to Genesis again. But we do invite you guys to join us for that midweek show. It is the most comprehensive Bible study that you're going to find anywhere. I promise you. So please do tune in, www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net. You can find the visual there. You can also, of course, find a show on numerous radio stations all over the world. And we do invite you, please tune in for that study. And David, we're going to continue this study. Why not the first show of next week? Why don't we do that? Okay. Because I'd love to continue this. In the meantime, if you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, please do so. Time is really short. That's what we mean by imminent. It can happen at any time. So we look forward to continuing this discussion and more in the next edition of The Last Christian.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs. But it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.